D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. We hope you are having a wonderful Thursday, a beautiful day in our fair city. Quickly, I do want to get something off my chest, Derek Mason. I don't want it to hang over the show. I want to get out all of the bad feelings. Mm-hmm. But I've just got to quickly rant about something.
Okay.
Don't be that neighbor who leaves their garbage can on the curb 3 days after garbage pickup.
Mm.
Do not be that neighbor. You are literally a garbage person if you leave your garbage can on the curb 3 days after trash pickup.
Hmm.
And this neighbor left their garbage can in front of my mailbox. That's the worst part, because the mailman's not going to go around the garbage can.
No.
So I made a little statement today. I put the garbage can back where it sort of belongs. Mm-hmm. But don't be that guy. Don't be that neighbor who leaves your garbage can on the curb 3 days after trash pickup. I'll allow like a 12 hours grace, because, you know, people leave it out there before they go to work and then they come home. So it's there all day until they come home from work, and that's fine. But Tuesday went by, garbage can was still out there. Wednesday went by, garbage can was still out there. Thursday, this morning, garbage can still out there. So I had to take matters into my own hands. So don't be that neighbor. Thank you.
Okay. What if they put the – because my neighbor does this from time to time. What if they put their trash out the day before the trash comes out, but they're leaving town for a few days?
See, one texter did say
I've had people do that. I had my neighbor do that.
Driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. What if they put it out before vacation?
Oh.
Then talk to one of your neighbors and say, hey, would you mind just putting my garbage can back in my driveway while I'm gone?
Okay, I get that. What if they're not friendly with the neighbor?
Well, get friendly. That's what I say.
No. I get it. My neighbors are great. They put their trash in. And the only time they leave it out excessively is when they're going out of town. Usually they drag it back in within before the day's up. But people have long work schedules. I get it. But I'm sure that can be annoying, especially when someone else puts their trash can near your mailbox. Because like you said, you're right. If the trash can is too close to the mailbox, the mail person is going by.
Right.
I've had people, workers, and this is my pet peeve, especially when they're doing a lot of building. Workers, contractors, please do not park at least 4 feet from somebody's mailbox. Seriously. Park at least 3 to 4 feet from somebody's mailbox, because if you don't, the mail carrier is not getting out of their car, nor do I expect them to get out of their vehicle unless they have a package to bring to my door. But they are not required to get outside their vehicle. You're not supposed to obstruct the mailbox. And too many contractors around this damn place obstruct mailboxes. I'm going to petition my person in my area. I'm going to bring up something. There's a 3-foot bumper around mailboxes. On the right side of the mailbox and the left side of the mailbox. Because people tend to park right there. And then the mail person, I don't blame them. They just roll by because I can't get in. So contractors, builders, if y'all listening, I know you are, don't give a 3-foot, 4-foot bumper between the mailbox and your car, especially around the time the mail person runs. Because you know, if you're in the neighborhood for a while working, you know when that mail person comes. You know when it comes. You just don't care.
Do you feel better now?
I feel better. Next time, you know what I'm going to start doing? I'm going to start putting tacks and nails near my mailbox. So go ahead and get close to it if you want to. You're going to have a flat tire when you leave. I'm going to tell you that right now. Because I'm tired of not getting my mail. Okay? I'm glad you brought that up. I've been wanting to bring this up for a long time, okay, but I had other stuff.
We didn't talk about this before the show. Yeah. I came in. I just wanted to get it off my chest so that I'm in a great mood for all of you. Andrew on our text line says, be better to your neighbors, and you'll have better neighbors. I'm a great neighbor. I am. I'm a great neighbor. I take care of the house. I keep the driveway clean. I put my cans away. Now, I do have the benefit of being home usually when the garbage and recycling trucks come by. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I see them, I put my cans away. So I do have that advantage. Again, I'll allow a 12-hour grace period.
Okay.
You put it out there before you go to work or the night before, and then you roll it back when you get home from work. That's fine. 3 days, completely unacceptable. You are literally a garbage person if you do not do that. Okay, I feel better.
There you go. Good job.
Mitch Light of The Athletic will join us at 3:40 to talk college football. A huge weekend in college football. A lot of incredibly critical matchups. We will talk about those with Mitch Light at 3:40. Elliot Freeman of Sportsnet will join us at 5 o'clock, as he does every Thursday. We'll talk the Predators, who are still in Sweden, with Willie Donick. A lot to get into with Elliot Freeman. What is he hearing about what the Predators could do if this season continues to spiral out of control? By the way, one texter about your tax and nails idea called it domestic terrorism.
Well, maybe I may not do that, but I do have to take my trash out. You know, and you never know. Some things may fall out. I don't know. I'm walking down the street. Sometimes I have stuff in my pocket.
We don't know what.
I don't know. Workers, they work near my house and they drop. I don't know.
Look, there are telltale signs. Hmm. And then we'll move on. There are telltale signs of what kind of person you are. If I let you in traffic and you don't wave, garbage person.
Yes, yes.
That's all I need to know. I feel like I'm doing a Seinfeld bit here. But if you don't give the courtesy wave, just a little acknowledgement, a little hand raise. Just know that I'm there. Know that you know that I let you in. If you don't even give the little hand raise, you're a garbage person.
Or if you don't say thank you when somebody opens the door. I've done that plenty of times here where I've opened the door.
And someone just waltzes right in.
And I just want to slap them in the back of their damn head. Didn't your mama teach you any damn manners?
praise.
They just walk right by you and just look at you like I'm supposed to. Like I'm supposed to open the door for you. Like that is my job to be the doorman at a Starbucks or any other place. I don't work there. Okay? They don't employ me. My W-2s don't have their name on it, okay? So when I open the door for you, damn it, say thank you. Next time, I'm just going to say, excuse me. Then you see me open it, I'm going to get rude. Excuse me. I'm going to get rude. I hate being rude so close to the holidays, man. I hate being rude, period. But especially during the holidays. But that's when people do it the most.
I think during training camp, Diana Russini of The Athletic did an interview with Mike Vrabel. And he said, I can't recall all of the details, but he said that one thing that just drives him nuts is when people leave their grocery carts at the grocery store in the parking lot. They don't return the grocery carts to the little area. And Vrabel was like, I police this stuff. Like, I say that. I'm like, first of all, I can completely see Mike Vrabel policing people putting their garbage. I mean, not their garbage cans. I would love for him to police my neighborhood with people who'd leave their garbage cans 3 days past three days past pickup. One texter says, violent start to the show. We are not violent people.
No, it's not
we had to let things go.
We get it out so we don't.
Yes.
Be violent people. We get it out. And
yes.
We've gotten it out.
That's exactly right. Okay, one more. John from Nashville says, it drives me crazy when I'm walking my dog in the morning and I walk past another person and say good morning and they say nothing.
Oh, yes. Oh man. There's this neighbor, well, person in the neighborhood that I've driven by like several times and just wave. And his ass hasn't waved back. You know, sometimes I just want to stop my car and say, you saw me waving at you, damn it. Yeah, probably not.
One more.
But I'm going to keep going. I just kept going. I just mind my own business. I don't even wave no more. I don't even wave. Just keep going.
One more. Ricky, I only did this once, but one time when I was living in New Jersey, same problem. I parked in front of my mailbox all the time, or I guess somebody parked in front of his mailbox all the time, and he left his window open a crack. And I went to the store and got one of those fart sprays, and I filled up his car with about 8 pumps and just watched them get in about 4 hours later and almost throw up. Felt pretty good afterwards. Okay.
That's domestic terrorism.
Okay.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, if you have other things that piss you off,
yes,
we'll get to them. 615-737-1025. All right. So I heard Robbie and Joe talk about this morning. I saw Paul Kaharsky tweet something about this yesterday.
Yes.
But one of my random go-to websites when it's not tankathon.com.
I was about to say tankathon.com.
I love tankathon.com. What's the email? Togetheratcromwellmedia.com. Yes. Tankathon.com. If you are looking for a sponsor, if you're looking to sponsor something, may I suggest the show, along with Bax Homeworks.
Yes.
Bax Homeworks and tankathon.com. That's a winning combination. Anyway, 506sports.com. It's the website that has a color-coded map of the United States, and it tells you where each NFL game is being broadcast, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So Kaharsky pointed this out. Robbie and Joe talked about this morning. For the game on Sunday between the Texans and the Titans, by the way, get ready for some Davis Mills at starting quarterback because C.J. Stroud has been ruled out for the game. So Davis Mills, who I believe his career starting record is 6-19-1, he will be starting for the Houston Texans against the Titans on Sunday. So this little color-coded map for the Fox single game, only Middle Tennessee in our state is getting the game between the Texans and the Titans. Memphis and Knoxville will be getting Chicago at Minnesota. The easternmost tip of Tennessee, right under the westernmost tip of Virginia, will be getting Houston versus Tennessee. And then the Houston area and that part of Texas will also be getting the game. But I can't imagine how often, by the way, Chattanooga also not getting.
Wow.
Titans and Texans. Chattanooga is getting Panthers and Falcons. So I can't imagine this has happened very often where the other major cities in our state, Knoxville, Memphis, Chattanooga, they're not getting the Titans game. And it appears, Derek, that the state of Tennessee, not just Nashville, it appears the state of Tennessee is losing interest in the Tennessee Titans.
Wow. It's unfortunate, but I think some of it has to do, or does it, with the whole ESPN thing and YouTube TV, their battle. Maybe that is affecting, you know, where you can view the game throughout the state. But I would tend to believe that if the Titans were doing a lot better, then why wouldn't you show the game across the state of Tennessee? Because even though they're located in Nashville, the fan base, you know, reaches east, west, north, and south. And I'm talking about a broader, not just here in Nashville or Middle Tennessee area. So you got to believe that if this team was much better, that the ability for the state as a whole to see the game without having, say, cable or something, or one of these streamers, it would be easier. I wonder if you, even if you get that antenna and you can watch ABC, it's still.
Well, that won't affect this because this game is on Fox.
Yeah, so it's on Fox. So.
Right. So, by the way, just for reference, going back to.
Well, that's even worse if it's on Fox, so everybody should be able to see it.
Right. But going back to 2 weeks ago when the Titans last played against the Chargers. The entire state of Tennessee received that game. Knoxville had it. Memphis had it. It appears Chattanooga had it. Even Huntsville had it. So 2 weeks later, Memphis isn't getting the game. Knoxville isn't getting the game. Chattanooga isn't getting the game. Huntsville isn't getting the game.
Okay, now 2 weeks ago, were those games on ABC?
That was a CBS early
CBS.
Game. Well, the only games on ABC are Monday Night Football.
Well, CBS. Oh, let's say CBS.
So CBS had the game between the Chargers and the Titans.
Okay. And that was 2 weeks ago.
That was 2 weeks ago.
It probably spread it across a broader demographic, so to speak, within the state. So
maybe.
But then how did they go back and look at the numbers and say, well, now that it's on a different station, maybe we not cover it as much?
I don't know. I can go back and study all of these maps. I don't think I have the time to do that right now.
No.
But I'm just looking at 2 weeks ago when the Titans last played mm-hmm. at home against the Chargers. The game was on CBS, and according to 506sports.com, the entire state of Tennessee had that game. Memphis had it. Knoxville had it. Chattanooga had it. As I said, even Huntsville had it. Mm-hmm. But this week on Fox, only Nashville is getting the game. Memphis isn't getting it. Knoxville isn't getting it. Chattanooga isn't getting it. So it just appears that, look, like, this is a good question. David, you're our Memphis correspondent. Do people in Memphis have an attachment to the Tennessee Titans?
I think so. I think there's more, though, Cowboy fans in Memphis mm-hmm. just because, like, again, you know, the Cowboys were such a huge phenomenon for, like, majority of the whole country. But, I mean, I knew a lot of people who were Titans fans whenever I was living in Memphis. Like, a lot of my friends were Titans fans growing up.
Okay. And Knoxville, any of our Knoxville listeners, 615-737-1025, I'm not sure if the Titans have the same grip cool. on the state as, for example, the Green Bay Packers mm-hmm. in the state of Wisconsin, right? So this does seem quite odd to me, but it just goes to show you, just how much interest there isn't in the Tennessee Titans right now, that the other major cities in our state aren't getting the Titans game on Sunday.
I mean, it's unfortunate. But if your team's not doing well, then it's almost like it's a blackout in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, stations have been known to do this throughout, so this is not something that's just common with the Tennessee Titans. I can remember living in Detroit and the games being blacked out a lot because they were so bad. So, yeah, your record does indicate how much and where you are shown across the U.S. And in particular, when you are an eastern half of the United States type of team, you got a lot of teams that are jockeying for position to be shown. And a lot of these teams are really good teams, or the brand is there. And the Tennessee Titans, if you're not doing well and it's consistently that way, then your piece of the pie is going to shrink more and more and more. And that's what's happening. Because this team is 1-8, and the Houston Texans, they're okay.
4-5.
Yeah, they're average. Who wants to see a bad team and average team play? Like, it's, no, seriously, I want to see it because I got to cover it. I love the Titans. But who else wants to see that? They would rather see another team, Chicago and Minnesota. Both of those teams are battling within the NFC. What is the NFC?
North.
So, yeah.
And basically the entire middle part of the country mm-hmm. is getting Chicago
exactly.
and Minnesota.
So they know that, I mean, that's, you play the hits, right?
Yes.
So right now, that's considered a hit. Minnesota and Chicago, because the implications of that game.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts on, apparently, Nashville is the only place in Tennessee, or Middle Tennessee. Middle Tennessee is the only place where you will be able to watch the Tennessee Titans on Fox this weekend. They're not being shown in Memphis. They're not being shown in Knoxville. They're not even being shown in Chattanooga. 615-737-1025. We'll also attempt to answer this question. Outside of Cam Ward, which Titans player has the most to prove in the second half of the season? We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. This Sunday, the NFL Game of the Week is the Chiefs versus the Broncos at 325 on 1025 The Game. The NFL Game of the Week is presented by Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in Maceo and 12 South.
What is good enough? Well, you know, that's a tough position these days with the talent on the edge. And they have got a great challenge this week with the pass rushers they've got in Houston. And so there's going to be give and take. And I think anytime you evaluate it, they're going to get beat. That's going to happen. Every player is going to get beat at some point in time. But I think you always got to look at them and say, are you using all the little techniques? Are you doing all the little things right to give yourself a chance to succeed? And I think that's one thing that you always look at when you get in here on Monday mornings and watch the game film or how they practice during the week. And that's why you're always, you know, like an earlier question, you're always pushing these guys to be the best they possibly can be, because it's a great challenge every week. And they're going to get beat at some time on the edge. There are some phenomenal pass rushers, and it's not easy. And the thing back in the days, you used to say, okay, each team has one. So, you know, you put chip help over there, you can slide certain things. But now you play a team like we're playing this week, and they got help on both edges. You got to help both edges at times. So it's, you know, that's part of our job too, to make sure we help these guys, you know, and a good running game helps that also.
That was Mike McCoy talking about J.C. Latham and Dan Moore as the Titans prepare to take on the Texans this Sunday, a game that barely anybody in Tennessee is going to be able to watch. Because as we were discussing earlier, it was pointed out by Paul Kaharsky of PaulKaharsky.com on 506 Sports, which has a color-coded map of which games are going to be available in every region of the country. Texans at Titans within our state is only available in Middle Tennessee. Memphis isn't getting the game. Knoxville isn't getting the game. Chattanooga isn't getting the game. 2 weeks ago, when the Titans hosted the Chargers, the entire state of Tennessee got that game. So we're just talking about the shrinking footprint of the Tennessee Titans within our state. We'll take your reaction, 615-737-1025. Let's go to Chad on our phone line. Chad, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, good stuff as always, brother. I have to take us back to free agency, I guess would have been the last few weeks of February into March. I called this exact show, and D. Mace, my hero, my guy, I said this was a no-brainer for me, and I said the Titans, it's easy. They need to sign Sam Darnold, which is going to be relatively cheap. And my boy D. and I said this. I said he checks a ton of boxes. And, bro, you turned on me. You said he checks a ton of boxes, and then you spent 45 minutes turning it into a bit about the boxes he checked that were negatives. Like, he checks that box, you know, the interceptions or the turnovers. And I just – I don't know why. You know, what happens sometimes in sports, we hear a name or identify. We think Sam Darnold. We think bust. We hear names like, now we do it with Will Levis, right? Completely toast for the rest of his career. Same thing with Baker Mayfield. If I'd have called you 2 years ago and said, Baker Mayfield deserves a chance, maybe we should sign him, y'all would have turned that bit into a 30-minute laugh at Chad.
No, not Baker. If you follow
this
show.
Well, let's not spin it. Let's not do a political spin here.
No, no, no. But if you've listened to this show, you know I've been a Baker Mayfield fan from day one.
Right, now, Sam Darnold. We're talking about
Sam Darnold. We can discuss that one because I got a rebuttal to that. But go ahead.
Well, it was the rebuttal. There shouldn't be a rebuttal because we spent 45 minutes running me down because I suggested Sam Darnold should be the choice, and I thought it was easy. And here's the other thing. Sam Darnold came to Nashville in December or late November, and he wore us out. He looked amazing. He's a big 6'4" prototype quarterback, and look at his numbers last year. This shouldn't be a surprise to people. And why we can't miss simple things kind of blows me away. And really, at the end of the day, at least have an open mind to say, maybe we should look at Sam Darnold. Not, oh, yeah, he checks some boxes, all right. Oh, he'll check some boxes. He'll be throwing it to the other team's boxes. Sam Darnold's having arguably, he's on the outside of the MVP looking in. And if the Titans made that move and used that first pick and traded it for draft capital, all of a sudden, we're watching the game in Chattanooga. Your thoughts?
Thank you for the call, Chad. Okay. The check from Stilly is in the mail, Chad.
Exactly. Okay, here's the thing. We can go over Sam Darnold back and forth. And we can play hindsight as 20/20. But my opinion, I'm not talking about what you said or other guys that other analysts. There are other teams that frankly thought like I thought. You know, and one of them was the Minnesota Vikings. As good as he played last year, they still were ready to move on. And it wasn't like Sam Darnold was just everybody that needed a quarterback was jumping in on Sam Darnold, because they were not. Listen, Sam Darnold is a good story, and he's having a good season. He has talent around him, a really good coach. My reason for not getting Sam Darnold is I wanted my own quarterback. I wanted the Titans to draft a franchise quarterback. I've seen Sam Darnold. I've seen it. Sam Darnold isn't going to get to – I didn't feel Sam Darnold was going to get you to the Super Bowl, where you wanted to go. He had the best offense in the NFL damn near last year.
By the way.
He had the best receiver in the game. And what did he do? When the time came for him to stand up tall, he shrunk. And that's happened too many times in his career. I'm not saying that the young man is not going to be a good quarterback. He's always going to be a solid quarterback from here on, I believe. But in this situation, I just felt the Titans needed to start their franchise, because I didn't know, had he left Minnesota and come here, it was going to work out. The Titans have no talent around them. They really don't. Or if they do, the talent is young. That's why the quarterback now, Cam Ward, is struggling. Because not only is he a rookie, but he's relying on other rookies as well. And the guys that he wanted to rely on, the guys that they went out and got, either hadn't performed, they traded away, or injured. One of the three. So that would have been Sam Darnold here. I would rather draft my own quarterback, not have to pay him this enormous contract, and build around him. There's nothing wrong with that. But again, what I seen from Sam Darnold at that moment, yes, a good quarterback. Yes, a guy, you put him in the right system, he's going to flourish. But when he had his chance to stand up tall, and not just me, other GMs around the league, they all pointed at that and said, listen, he's all right, but we're not spending what it's going to cost to get him as our quarterback. Now, Seattle did, and kudos to them. It's working for them. But you can't look at that and say, well, it'll work here in Nashville too. Because look at the team now. It's not working for anybody. And again, you can bring Sam Darnold here. You could bring Aaron Rodgers here. You could bring any quarterback. They don't have the talent. And if they do, it's young. So I would rather my young quarterback grow with his young talent. That's my thing. Listen, if you want to, Sam Darnold's doing wonderful. I'm sure. I'm following him as far as his stats, but I'm sure they have a winning record, so they're doing pretty good.
He certainly, to the caller's point, he certainly is in the MVP conversation.
Exactly. And he was in the MVP conversation last year, wasn't he? But there were a bunch of teams that said, nope, we ain't going to be fooled. He need to do it a couple more times. We ain't going to be fooled. And me saying, I want them to draft a quarterback. I don't want them to bring in Sam Darnold. He gives you 2-3 years, and then now you got to go get another quarterback. I don't know how long that's sustainable. It may be. But I would rather go out and draft my own quarterback. Now, if you're saying they drafted the wrong quarterback, then, okay, let's have that conversation. But had Cam Ward come out and been a little bit better, your argument is mute. Because this is what franchise wanted, to draft a young quarterback and develop that young quarterback and build around that young quarterback, all while they don't have to pay him a lot of money. That's what the Titans are trying to do, and hopefully Borghese can do that. So this ain't no political flip-flop. Bruh, I stick to what I say. That's one thing about me. I'm going to stick to what I say. I ain't going to try to backtrack. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But if I'm right, damn it, I'm going to say it very loud, okay? So we can play armchair quarterback, or we can say, you know, what if. And you're right. He's having a wonderful season. But me, in my opinion, I think they did the right thing by going out and drafting their quarterback and trying to, you know, put talent around him while he's developing.
By the way, next Sunday, Sam Darnold and the Seahawks visit Nissan Stadium. So we'll be watching closely what Sam Darnold does.
And he may end up having another good game, but that's not going to change my opinion on what I thought last year. It's not.
We've got a lot of reaction to that, which we will get to. Per our previous conversation, Brian says, hearing the Titans' footprint is shrinking even more makes me think back to the beginning of the season when everyone was mad at that guy
who makes the primetime game schedule, shout out Mike North,
yes,
and saying the Titans can't draft their way into primetime. That guy looks pretty good right now. It looks like he knows what he's talking about.
Well, it takes, you know, years, but we all know if this was the New York Giants and they had the first pick, or if it was the Dallas Cowboys and had the first pick in the NFL draft, their games would have been predetermined. They would have been on television, okay? So you can draft your way to more spots on television. The Titans didn't have any. Am I right about that?
Zero primetime games.
Zero primetime.
Yeah.
And it makes it even worse when you look at the southern part of the country, and just three states here, Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana. You know what games they showing basically in those regions? Green Bay and the Giants, which, who cares about Green Bay and Alabama? Green Bay and the Giants in Chicago and Minnesota. But majority of that region right there, they're playing Green Bay and the Giants. Oh, the Giants that just fired their head coach, the Giants that quarterback, is he playing this week? Or is he out of the protocol?
Jackson Dart?
Yeah.
No, Jameis Winston is starting for the Giants
so,
this weekend.
Again, that's an attestment.
Also, it should be noted that the Saints are off this week, hence why those regions may be getting those games because the Saints aren't playing.
Yeah, because they would show a Saints game in Louisiana. You would hope they would, right?
They would. No, they definitely will. 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction on the fact that the Titans' footprint is shrinking within the state of Tennessee. We'll take your thoughts on Sam Darnold, too. He'll be here next week. We'll get to that next week. But coming up next, Mitch Light of The Athletic will join us. We'll preview the weekend ahead in college football. We'll bring up the brand bias conversation we had yesterday with Mitch Light. Curious for his thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. If you are looking for a great spot to pregame before the Titans-Texans game this Sunday, may I suggest stopping by John Bon Jovi's. JBJ's has the best food on Broadway, cold beer and cocktails, and stunning skyline views, including two epic rooftops. Catch the pregame show next Sunday, brought to you by Tennessee Brew Works and Old National Bank. Chase and Big Joe will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday, prior to the Monday Night Football game, which is Cowboys versus Raiders. So head on up to Kentucky, catch Chase and Big Joe, and catch Monday Night Football, because who the hell knows, you may still not have ESPN on YouTube TV by Monday. But let's go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Mitch Light of The Athletic to preview the weekend ahead in college football. And Mitch, yesterday we spent a considerable amount of time discussing the potential brand bias, with Notre Dame being 9th in the CFP rankings, Vanderbilt being 14th in the rankings, despite maybe having similar resumes. Where do you stand on this hot button issue?
That's a good question. And unlike our friend Derek, I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
Dang it, come on.
And I think we all have biases. We all have been watching college football for a long time, so it's difficult for a lot of people to sit there and say, wait, could Vanderbilt with two losses be better than Notre Dame with two losses? I don't know how much of that is a factor. I would like to think that people in the committee room, especially, former coaches who kind of just can look at a resume and kind of use the phrase appreciate ball, wouldn't do that. I can look at Notre Dame's resume and say, yeah, I can see why Notre Dame should be two or three spots ahead. And I can look at Vanderbilt's and say the same thing. Like, rational people can disagree. I think in the end, sure, it matters some. It's difficult. Like, I'll be quick with this. When I was at Athlon Sports for years, when I first started there in the early 2000s, we made college football predictions. Every year we would have Florida State in the top five because Florida State had that amazing run. And then after being wrong for two or three years, we'd be like, you know what? Florida State's not good anymore. We have to move past our biases and what we think is going to happen, that they're going to turn it around just because they have talent. So to answer your question, I think it's a part of everyone's mindset, but in the end, I don't think it'll be the real differentiator.
A lot of fabulous matchups in college football this weekend. The one I'm looking forward to most, number 10 Texas at number 5 Georgia, and I know a lot of Vanderbilt fans will be watching that game because the Commodores need the Longhorns to keep losing. So what do you make of this matchup? What's your early read on Texas at Georgia?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting the way you phrase that. And I agree with you, Adam, but it's like part of the strength of Vanderbilt's resume is, oh, only two losses at Texas and at Georgia. So wouldn't you want Texas to keep winning?
True.
But then obviously you want them to fall behind Vanderbilt. I think it's a fascinating game from a Texas standpoint, because if you're a Texas fan, you say, okay, we had that off week. We got back. We lit up Vanderbilt, who's good, and Arch looked great. And then you look at what Auburn did to Vanderbilt, and you say, oh, maybe our offense didn't get right. Maybe that was a Vanderbilt thing. So because Georgia's been susceptible. We saw what Tennessee did to them in the passing game. So that, to me, is going to be the biggest part of this game. Can Texas move the ball against a good but not great Georgia defense? Georgia has been living right this year. Give them all the credit for making plays, but they've been flirting with disaster. Really, last week against Mississippi State was probably the only real complete game, and I know they didn't play great for four quarters. But I'll cop out. I'll go with the easy answer and say Georgia at home. But I think what Texas does offensively is the story of this game and will be the story going forward for Texas.
Mitch Light of The Athletic is joining us talking about college football. Mitch, my beloved ACC is a hot mess right now.
It is. In
college football. I have no idea how this thing is going to shake out. If you had to put on your, let's call it your prognosticating glasses, your fortune-telling glasses, I don't know, some sort of glasses, how do you see the ACC shaking out?
Yeah, I don't have all of the schedule in front of me. I've looked, I think this is Miami, to me, is still the best team, but the best team needs to win games, and they have some troubling losses, and they've kind of, it's been a similar story for them. I still think Georgia Tech, Georgia Tech has slipped up really only once. They were horrible defensively against NC State there. If they can stay healthy and if Haynes Keene stays healthy, I think they're the best team. But again, you got five teams with one loss. The nightmare scenario, which you guys have probably talked about, is that your Duke Blue Devils figuring out how to win this league and then have a resume with four losses, including a loss to UConn. That would be the worst scenario for the league. But it's fun to watch from the outside, Adam, but if you're a fan of the league, it's probably not fun.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with Duke winning a conference championship, regardless of what happens. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, tell that to Jim Phillips, the commissioner.
Now, Mitch, listen, a lot of this we've been talking about this week has had sort of this Vandy sort of attachment, because I think, Notre Dame and Texas, I think what they do moving forward does affect Vanderbilt. But
sure,
there's another team that, as I start to think about it more and more, why don't they have the same argument? Say, if they beat Vanderbilt, and I'm talking about UT.
Yeah.
They're three losses, close to Oklahoma, close to Georgia. We know how that one was. And now the Alabama game, it was what it was. And I do hold that against them. But if Texas can make the argument about their close losses and say they end up 9-3, why can't UT make that same argument? Is it because of the Alabama loss and how it looked?
It's the lack of good wins. Okay. Texas, what Texas has going forward is a three
even
loss
if
Texas.
They beat Vanderbilt.
A three-loss Texas would include a win over Georgia at Georgia or Texas A&M, which would be a tremendous win. The problem with Tennessee is their wins. Like, the cumulative record of the teams that Tennessee has won is not very good. They beat Mississippi State, they beat Arkansas, they beat Kentucky. It's just, they are a good team. We can watch college football and say, yes, they are a good team, but they've done nothing to prove they are a great team. If Gunnar Stockton doesn't hit London Humphreys on that fourth down play in the corner of the end zone in that game in Knoxville, we're talking about Tennessee in a completely different light. Mm-hmm. But the game happened, and it's just their resume, there's just not enough there for a three-loss Tennessee team to be strongly considered.
Okay, with that being said, we tout the SEC as this juggernaut of a conference. Like, they're better than any conference. You put them all together, the SEC still better than any conference. Well, them beating Arkansas, Mississippi State within the conference, Kentucky, shouldn't that be good for them, but now it's being used. And it's just the contrary to what you're saying. That's all. Yeah. I'm saying, if we consider the SEC the top conference, then beating the team within the SEC is much better than, say, somebody in the ACC beating one of their conference foe, or the Big Ten or the Big 12.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there, but just unfortunately they've and they'll have wins over Florida and Vanderbilt in your scenario too. Mm-hmm. But Arkansas, Mississippi State, and Kentucky are probably the three worst teams in the league. I know Kentucky beat Auburn, and then Florida is playing like the worst team. Florida got run off the field there. So there's just the SEC's strength is in this year is the middle of the league. It's depth, and the top teams are good. They're not as good as usual. But you can't argue the teams at the bottom have not been great this year. So I get what you're saying. There's just not enough there in the argument. If it's a 16 team field in a few years, maybe we're talking about a three-loss Tennessee. But in this scenario right now, especially with a group of five team getting in, where you're not just being one of the best 12 teams in the country. You probably this year have to be one of the best 10 teams in the country.
Now, regardless of how the season finishes for Vandy, I'm talking about, in regards to winning, but when it comes to Diego Pavia in the Heisman Trophy, being not just winning it, but actually just being there, is it going to take for him to beat Kentucky and UT? Is it going to take for him to beat those teams, or does he need to have a moment and just win that UT game?
Yeah, nothing happens in a vacuum. Obviously, mm-hmm. we have to see what the other candidates do.
Exactly.
I think he could get there, a finalist with a 9-3 team. Let's just say they beat Kentucky and he does fine. That Tennessee game, I don't know yet if it's a 2:30 ABC game, but that will be on national TV. There will be a lot of eyes on that game for a Vanderbilt team trying to make the playoff, which we thought, heading into the year would be unheard of. If he throws for 350 yards and four touchdowns in a classic back-and-forth game where the nation's watching, I think, sure, that would not hurt him. I'm not going to sit here and say Vanderbilt has to go to the playoff for Diego Pavia to be a Heisman finalist. I think what he did in the Auburn game, kind of reaffirmed, because the deal with Diego all year was, okay, maybe his counting stats aren't as good as some of these other guys. Vanderbilt plays more of a ball control offense, and we know his value to the team, but the fact that he went out there and threw for 300 plus, ran for 100 plus, had what, four touchdowns in a kind of a high profile game, I think that kind of turned some heads as well.
Now, how long will it take for not just the committee, but I think, other people that follow college football and that talk about it, how long is it going to take them to realize, because of the new landscape of college football, meaning NIL, that the brand may not mean what it used to mean, because it doesn't mean the same to these kids. What matters to these kids is how much you're going to give me. They don't care about your brand anymore. It's how much you're going to give me. How long is it going to take everybody else to realize, hey, listen, maybe this is just the way it's going to be. So you can have a Vandy that's been bad for so long. Now they're going to consistently, not say compete for a national championship, but they're going to consistently be a player within the SEC.
Yeah, I think everyone kind of learns at their own pace. And I admit, mm-hmm. My story earlier about always thinking Florida State was going to be good, it took me a while to realize that. But your question is pertinent because it's a different era now. So it's tough to get past certain things that we think we know about sports. But I'll just say, as someone who's inside and follows closely, I pay attention to recruiting far less than I did 4 years ago. If I knew that Alabama had X amount of five stars, there's just no way that Alabama was not going to be better than this other team. But now, the way it works with the transfer portal and all that stuff, I've kind of retrained my brain. I think it's going to take a lot of people several years and more Vanderbilts, other teams like that, to come out of nowhere before we kind of realize that, hey, the landscape really has changed.
Mitch Lett of The Athletic has been our guest on D-Maze, Vingan, and Donick. He joins us every Thursday during college football season to help us preview the weekend in, of course, college football. Mitch, thank you so much for your time. We'll catch up next week.
All right, talk to you guys later. See ya.
Yep.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on all of the college football action. Again, some really great games in the SEC, specifically Texas at Georgia, Oklahoma at Alabama, another huge game with major CFP implications. And of course, well, Vanderbilt's off. They play next week against Kentucky. So we'll see what happens. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll attempt to answer the question we were going to answer earlier. Outside of Cam Ward, which Titans player has the most to prove in the second half of the season? We'll take your thoughts. We'll give ours. That's coming up next. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.